Axel Nudie in the broadcast basement. It's a basement, it's a bar, it's many beers. And here's your host, Chris Lanudie.
My name is Chris Lanudie. Welcome on down to my homemade 9-foot oak bar, my basement on the south side of Chicago. Pull up a stool and join me for something new on the Broadcast Basement feed. The Broadcast Basement has been on this feed for over 10 years. Over 10 years of podcasting. But recently, we branched out. Now the Broadcast Basement not only puts out a show about beer, fatherhood, and fun with Acoustic Mike, Wild Bill, Ed, and myself, but the Broadcast Basement also produces many other podcasts. And there's some great stuff that I'm collecting that I either don't have time to share with anybody or that I want to show you, so maybe you'll say, hey, I want to subscribe to that show too. And that's what this is all about. You're listening to This Week in Lanudie's Basement, TWILB. Remember This Week in Baseball, TWIB? Well, we're TWILB. I'm sure it'll catch on. And this is the first TWILB show. Maybe it won't catch on. For the next 30 minutes, you get to hear everything going on this week in Lanudie's basement, or what happened last week in Lanudie's basement. Just stuff going on in Lanudie's basement. This basement, my basement. I'm Lanudie. For example, Ben Belton, Hollywood insider and a good friend of mine for over two decades. He's been on the Broadcast Basement before, but Wild Bill hates it. He's like, he's got nothing to do with beer, he's got nothing to do with fatherhood, he's got nothing to do with fun. But the guy's got some great stories, and he's got great insight into movies that are out now or that are coming out. He's got insider information, and I love to use him. Lately, I've been using him on the local show that I do called the EP Podcast for Evergreen Park, Illinois, on the south side of Chicago. But I don't like wasting Ben on just one show, and there's stuff that I just can't fit in this week's episode of the EP Podcast. So you get much, much more on this program right here. Plus, I've got something from every other show produced in the Broadcast Basement this week. Socks in the Basement, Growing Up on a Podcast, the show For Kids, By Kids, a brand new show just launched called Me and the Priest that I'm sure you haven't even heard about. Plus, I might try out a few segments, play some old stuff that's kind of funny, and generally have a good time. So pull up a stool, join me. It's This Week in Lanudie's Basement on the Broadcast Basement. 30 minutes of good.
Recently, there have been new facial products that have replaced skin cleansers. They are these little strips that you apply to your face, peel off, and remove lots of dirt. So keeping up with the latest craze, Removo Strip. Sir, do you have unsightly blackheads?
Why, yes I do.
Try some Removo Strip.
What the hell is that? It looks like duct tape.
Shut up and hold still.
Ah! Remove the skin off my cheek!
It also removes beards.
Ah!
Eyebrows.
Ah!
And even ears.
Ah! You, what have you done to me?
Well, do you have any blackheads?
I have no skin.
And no dirt to boot, so run out and get a Removo Strip today.
My Hollywood insider, my good buddy Ben Belton's on the phone. Ben, a lot of movies coming out here. I can't believe in the fall we get so many different things in film that there are to talk about. Because you always think summer blockbusters, and then somewhere along the holidays you get all those things that come out. But right now there seems to be a lot of really interesting movies that are out. One of them is Bohemian Rhapsody. Did you see that this weekend?
I actually did see it earlier this week, and the film is really, really good. Now, I will say this, for people that are looking for an award-caliber film, I'm not sure that it's going to rise to that occasion. I mean, it'll probably get nominations for certain things here and there. It's just a great film in terms of, particularly if you like Queen, the music. It was amazing to be in a room filled with people, and most of the people there were singing, you know, stomping their feet, and like with the performances that were in the film. It was pretty amazing, and I think that you're going to see that spread across the country, when it goes into wide release, like I said, this weekend.
See, you really liked it, and what's funny is that here in Chicago in the Sun-Times, Richard Roper destroyed it, just like went nuts on the whole thing. He thought it should have been like an R-rated movie. He thought that they glossed over Freddie Mercury's personal life, and they went for this PG-13 thing. They thought there should have been, I mean, he jumps all over the movie, but you're telling me you're there, you're watching it with people, and they're singing along with it.
Yeah, and in fact, at the end, they gave it the people gave it a standing ovation. I mean, people were clapping and cheering. And I think really it's subjective. I mean, I think if you go into it with the expectations that it's going to be the best, you know, film biopic you've ever seen, you might be disappointed. But if you go in expecting a fun film that tells you about Queen. And I don't agree with his assessment that you know, because there's a lot of references to, you know, Mercury's personal life and both, you know, in his relationship that he had, as well as his family. And that's I don't exactly know where that comes from, but I thought that was interesting today to hear that.
Well, you know, it's the weird thing. It's like some people think that if you don't go all out, I mean, like, look, we all know Freddie Mercury was bisexual, if I'm not mistaken. And then he ends up passing away because of AIDS. And it was almost as if that some of the critics are like, well, if we don't actually see him, you know, actually having sex on screen, we haven't done him justice. I don't know. Yeah. I don't pick that up from Freddie Mercury that's how he wants to be remembered as a bisexual. I think he wanted to be remembered for his music a little bit more.
Well, what I don't get about that is that they allude to all of that in the movie. There's several, they show, you know, several scenes that involve and basically touch on the subject. So again, but it's just like what you said, they want to see it be more vivid or more, you know, graphic, I guess. And it's not that, you know, but I don't think it needs to be. I think it's more about the music and really it's about the band, honestly. And it's interesting to learn, you know, kind of how the dynamics played out. And after I actually finished watching the film, I've been, of course, the music gets in your head on top of that. And then you go back and I actually went back on YouTube and watched the Live Aid concert that they performed at. It was pretty incredible because they recreate that in part of the film, which people will see when they go see it.
Now, there's another rock movie that came out this weekend as well. What's the name of this one? It's got the guy from Radiohead involved in it.
Well, there's a movie called Suspiria. It's a remake of a 1977 film, and it's by a director, the same director that Call Me By Your Name last year. And it stars Dakota Johnson, who is, of course, the daughter of Melanie Griffith and the granddaughter of Sippy Hedren from Hitchcock fame, The Birds. And in addition to that, it also stars Tilda Swinton. And interestingly enough, it's sort of a art house horror film, which I don't really even know how to explain. It's pretty good, but it's more for someone that likes an artsy type film. The acting is incredible. The story is very well done. And the music, for people who love rock, the director, whose name is Luca, was a big fan of Radiohead and Thom Yorke. So he personally asked Thom Yorke to do the music for the film. So when you're listening or you're watching this movie, you'll hear basically Radiohead or Thom Yorke in the background.
That might be one I'd want to check out, because the other night I was watching Psycho, because like all the Halloween stuff has been out for the last couple of weeks, you know, for the season. And I watched the movie Psycho, and that probably could be described nowadays as an art house horror film, because nothing happens in it for like the first hour. Like it's just like a think piece. Then there's one quick moment of violence, and then it's a think piece again. And it's supposed mm-hmm. to be scary and intense. That's what I think when you say art house horror film. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm thinking I'm going to get something like that.
Well, and I will say this, if somebody is going to the movie theaters that's listening and they want to see a horror film that really delivers, I have to say, if you have not seen Halloween, go see it. Halloween is excellent. It's just a fun horror film. You know, it's, again, the Suspiria is a little different of a film because, again, it's going to cater more to people that are wanting to see more of an independent. It's a longer film. It's 2.5 hours. Yeah. More than independent or art film.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours. Well, forget everything I said about wanting to see it. Now, here's something.
Well, just a warning. Just a little warning to people that are listening, you know, if they're thinking about going to see it. I mean, it's a different kind of film, but, you know, there are certain people that will really appreciate it.
Okay, so 18 years ago, there was a Jim Carrey version of The Grinch. We have the version that's the cartoon one that we've had ever since before I was, I don't even know when that one came out. I know it was just always was, and I'm 41 years old, but now they're doing another Grinch movie. And it bothers me. I just think that like at some point you just go, okay, we've done it. We did the live action. We did the cartoon. What else is there to do on the Grinch that hasn't been done before? What do you think about this thing coming out?
Well, I think it's going to strike a chord. I mean, it's an animated film and animated films do really well these days. And again, to point out that, as you pointed out, it's been since 2000, November 2000 is when the Ron Howard.
Oh, no, the Ron Hubbard version would have been very different.
Yes, that's the Ron Hubbard version. We know this. The Ron Howard
version. Tom Cruise would have been in it. John Travolta would have been in it. There would have been a lot of weird stuff. It would have been a weird, weird version.
Yeah, strike that. So at any rate, when you look at that film, as far as that you know, it's hard to believe that it was that long ago because it feels pretty current. Now, what they decided to do with this one is to do the animation, and interestingly enough, Benedict Cumberbatch is doing the voice of the Grinch. So if the Grinch happens to sound like Smaug from The Hobbit when you're listening, that would be why.
Ben, it's always good to talk to you. I know a year ago we were standing on Santa Monica Pier, you know, right before I took my trip to go over to Australia, and how time flies, because it's been a while since we've hung out. So very soon, either you here in Chicago or me out there on the West Coast, we're going to get together and drink some beers because you're a big craft beer nut and so am I. So we'll have to get that worked out. And then maybe we'll go see in a 2.5-hour artsy horror movie, hey, I guess.
It could work. Like
no,
I said.
No, it won't work. It won't work at all.
I got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broken down when I was sick. Gotta build it back up brick by brick. I've got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broken down when I was sick. Gotta build it up back brick by brick. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This time alone is all I got. Singing my song in the parking lot. Every day I wake this way. Some of the days I just can't take. Get that money, get that break. You ain't gonna win if you ain't gonna play. Whoa, whoa. Down, but that's okay. We all look back on yesterday. We all look back on yesterday. I've got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broken down when I was sick. Gotta build it back up brick by brick. I've got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Broken down when I was sick. Gotta build it back up brick by brick.
And if you've got some life to fix, or let's say you're a vet, or you just want to hear what a normal, good Catholic priest thinks about some things honestly, I've been developing this show down here in the basement with a local priest by the name of Father Paul Guzman. This guy was a U.S. Marshal, he's medically trained, and he's a U.S. Naval Reserve chaplain who just got called up into active duty. In fact, he got called up right before we launched the show, Me and the Priest. Which is just going to be me and him sitting down here. Me asking him ridiculous questions that come off the top of my head. Hopefully not embarrassing myself, but kind of trying to be embarrassing. And him giving me honest answers. Like a real human conversation with a man of the cloth who wasn't always a man of the cloth. And then a twist happens. He gets sent overseas where he's going from forward operating base to forward operating base under gunfire. And every once in a while he's still able to check in with me. Bouncing his signal off of like 17 different satellites, and it's probably monitored by all kinds of people. There's only 2 episodes of Me and the Priest currently up. It's found on Apple Podcasts, soon to be on Spotify, a few other podcast players, and always at meandthepriest.com. I'm going to give you a taste of our last conversation, and then maybe you'll check it out. Here's a little bit of me and Father Paul from Me and the Priest on This Week in Lanuti's Basement. You were on a mission, and that's why we had a little bit of a break. between the last time we talked and now. Tell me what happened, because right. I did hear that you almost got yourself in the middle of it, as they say, and only because of a, depending on who you ask, fortunate or unfortunate, in the way you put it to me, a mishap, did you avoid a massive battle? What happened?
Yeah, we were in a convoy. We were going out to one of the forward operation bases, and as all things happen, while we're on this this road, two of the vehicles break down. Not just one, but two. And we were bringing more supplies to this base. We were bringing some more mortars and some more Marines. And while we're on the road trying to fix these vehicles, the base that we were going to got hit. And we could hear the mortar shells falling, and we could see the smoke rising from the base. So, we were anxious to get everything fixed and get over there, but we just couldn't get everything fixed. They sent another convoy. They picked up the mortars, and they went on ahead, and we had to turn around and go back. So I just missed it.
So if you would not have had the vehicle breakdowns, these two vehicles breaking down, the chances that you are either at the base or driving into the base when the mortar attack happens, you're saying pretty high.
Would have been 100%.
100%, you're in that.
Yep, 100% I would have been
so
in.
So now I told you when we were texting or Skype texting or whatever, because we talked to each other while you're over there, I told you, well, God was looking out for you. And what was your response?
Well, we all wanted to get into it. And we were kind of disappointed that we missed the party.
You wanted in there. You wanted to get in the middle of it, huh? With mortars whistling over your head.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the place where the soldiers need you. So that's where I thought I should be. And I didn't get a chance to get there.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing that I thought was the most interesting is that after I put out the first show, I'm sitting at a bar here right around the corner, bunch of guys that know you from the parish. Right away, he heard something that you said on there about how, like, you wanted to get in the middle of it. You were ready to go, and you know, that's where you're supposed to be, and the fact you were a U.S. Marshal beforehand and everything like that. And he looks over at me and he goes, "It's always the singing priest. It's always them. They're the craziest out of all of them."
Well, I never said I was sane.
And I close my eyes. Now I know I have failed. With my arms open wide as I fight to move in. And I weep as I die for you.
That's one heck of a guy right there. Hopefully him and all the other servicemen and women keep themselves safe. Me and the Priest has a Twitter and a Facebook, just like all the other shows that come out of the Broadcast Basement. No Instagram yet. Broadcast Basement has an Instagram. Socks in the Basement has one of those. EP Podcast has one of those. Even Growing Up on a Podcast. So we got to get Father Paul's own Instagram. I'll work on that. All right, I promised at the beginning of this first episode of This Week in Lanuti's Basement that we try some fun things, throw some stuff at the wall, and see what sticks. And I got an idea. A long time ago, a long, long time ago, myself, Wild Bill, Ed, and a cast of others actually started off in radio. It's the late 1990s in Middle America, and we're just trying to figure it out. And the guest on a brand new morning show with a guy who has no idea what the hell he's doing was Stabbing Westward, who incidentally just celebrated their 20th anniversary of the album Darkest Days. That's about the time this interview came out. So let's step into the Wayback Machine and go back in time. Before there was podcasting, and when you made a mistake, it was on live radio. This Week in Lanuti's Basement goes into the past, now.
Welcome to the morning show with Chris Lanuti, along with Ed, Andrew, and Lee. It's Monday through Friday, so listen up, damn it. It's right here on 107.1 The Planet. 107.1 The Planet. Right here at 6 o'clock. The band.
what is the deal with the, can you tell the fire, they were telling me the fire department story last night.
Oh, right, right, okay.
I figure you guys will even have a better, because okay. They probably left out some of the stuff.
So we're in Denver,
okay.
And it started out a lot like yesterday started out. We harmlessly went to a brew pub for lunch at 3 in the afternoon.
You kind of need to start this story in Texas.
In tech, the day before?
No, see, the story started, you can pick it up in Denver, because okay. I wasn't there for that. The story started in Texas when we hooked up with Gravity Kills, and they wanted to go out drinking. And they wanted to go to, like, a
dance
disco
club.
Dance club where everyone would know him. And Jim, who sort of had scoped out the area earlier in the day, wanted to play a trick on them. So he goes, I know this great place right down the street. And he takes them to this, like,
El
Jardin, this, like, old man's bar. And they're all hanging out in this old man's bar, and everyone's ordering drinks. And suddenly it starts to dawn on people that, A, there's only men there. B, there's only a men's room. And one of the jokes was there's a hole in the bar about waist level, and this guy would make these weird white shots.
Milky shots.
And no one would drink them. But
he would yell,
fire in the hole! Fire in the hole! And the shot would come out this hole in the bar.
So we're in Denver. I think it's the next day or two days later.
Now we're in Denver, everybody.
And like I said, it started like yesterday. It's 3 in the afternoon. We go to a brew pub to have lunch. And somebody at the pub goes, hey, you guys are stabbing Westward.
I'd like to interject briefly that I was not at either one of these
Chris
events.
Chris wasn't there.
I'm never invited to any band affair.
Don't
take me anywhere.
Well, see, because
which I feel is a blessing.
So anyway, so it's like they buy us a beer, which leads to 50 more beers, which leads to 1,000 more beers. Your mic's just not working, is it, man?
No, it's not. My
here, share with me, man.
Share with you? Okay.
So it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 12 hours of drinking have passed, and everyone's just unbelievably hammered.
Mark's drank himself sober.
Yeah, just unbelievable. So I'd left about 15 minutes before everybody else, and I'm in my hotel room, and I'm getting ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off. And so I'm looking out the little peephole, you know, to see what the hell is going on. And there's this guy who works at the hotel who's walking through the hall with a little megaphone. He's going, please don't be alarmed. We're searching for the fire. Some crap like this. And I'm like, oh, this is just perfect, man. The hotel's burning down. So the elevator opens, and out of the elevator comes the Denver Fire Department in complete fireman regalia, gas masks, axes, and they've got their yellow raincoats, and they're marching.
Johnny.
They're marching right to Jim and Mark's room. And they're banging on the door.
Oh, and you know it's trouble.
Wait.
Got to interject another part of the story. Mark.
You forgot about the lingerie.
Wait, yeah. So Mark, we're opening for the Sex Pistols, and Mark, it's the opening night of the Sex Pistols tour, and Mark has decided, I want to wear like a cheerleader's uniform on stage.
But he bought this like Playboy
really,
bunny satiny
with furry breast things.
Boa dress. He
okay.
A dress to wear.
Now to back up my earlier allegation, Mark wouldn't stop with just wearing a dress.
He
was afraid that if he spun around, people might see that he was wearing boxer shorts. So he bought women's underwear, garter belt, and some like nice fishnet stockings.
Oh, right,
okay, so he's got all this stuff, and he bought 4 dresses because he couldn't choose which one he liked. So he's got 4 dresses, a couple of garter belts, and some women's underwear, bra, and stockings laid out on the bed.
Hotel room.
And before, when they had gotten back from the hotel drunk, they had completely trashed their bedroom. They had like thrown everything against the walls, broken everything, except the bed covered in women's clothing.
And Mark is
continue.
Really, really, really drunk. And Mark is trying these
and for those
on.
Of you who haven't seen Mark, he's this big, hairy Greek guy.
Wait, he was trying to close out. Because he told me they weren't on. His version of the story was these were just
on.
Laying on this corner. These guys happened to see him. I wasn't really wearing them.
He was like in women's panties or something. And the knock on their door comes. It's the Denver Fire Department. Open the door. So they open the door.
They're both in their underwear, I heard.
Yeah, they're both in their underwear. So imagine this. The Denver Fire Department bursts into your room, and they're looking around the room. The room is trashed. Here's two pretty close to naked men, one wearing women's panties. They're drunk out of their mind. What do you think is going on, right? And the fireman says, or the hotel guy goes, is there a fire in there? And the fireman says, not one that we can put out.
Not one we can do anything about.
And the whole reason that the fire department got called in the first place. Mark and Jim come into the hotel and they're horribly stumbling drunk, right? And they walk down the hall and they were laughing about this gay bar that they had been to the night before, and they were screaming, "Fire in the hall!" And they were laughing, and somebody thought they said, "Fire in the hall," and they called the Denver Police Department. I mean, fire department.
Can we do a... I'm going to do a brief news editorial.
Okay, you want commercials?
Go ahead. Back in the good old days...
Can I do a commercial for Dixie Cups?
Back in the good old days that all these conservative people refer to, the 50s and 60s. Well, not so much the 60s. But, you know, Kennedy... slept with Marilyn Monroe while he was married and in office.
And they killed her.
And you know what?
And then they killed him.
You know what? More power to the guy.
It was Marilyn Monroe.
FDR had a state apartment paid for by the United States, mm-hmm. where he kept his mistress. More power
and
to him.
And you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal that Bill Clinton is having an affair with a woman. He could be doing 14-year-old choir boys.
Yeah.
We should be happy that our president...
If our president wasn't getting any, I would be concerned. He's like the ultimate rock star.
Well, you've seen his wife, haven't you?
I've seen his wife, yeah. I think that, you know, other world leaders respect our president's virility.
The ultimate rock star.
He is the ultimate rock star. If you can't score when you're the president, you're pretty lame.
And finally, Christina Applegate pretty much knows what'll happen whenever she walks down the street. She says she gets asked the inevitable question, what's Al Bundy like? She says it's the big question of the day that'll be asked for the rest of her life. Her new sitcom, Jesse, premieres on NBC September 24th.
Do you actually call that news?
Wow.
It sounds like a plug for Christina Applegate. It's not truly news. I mean, that is not a newsworthy story. There's got to be someone starving somewhere.
Go easy on Lee, all right?
Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, high at 90. Right now, it's 69 degrees in Champaign. I'm Lee Vivanco.
And I'm Andrew Miller, and that's your morning alternative look at the planet.
Thank you very much, guys. If you have been living in a cave for the last, 40 minutes, we are joined in the studio by members of Stabbing Westward, Chris and Andy. Here.
Hey, Lee?
Yeah?
What's the temperature again?
69 degrees.
Cool.
Rock stars in the studio today.
Can you tell?
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool. All about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool.
Okay, so you guys want to start a podcast?
Yeah.
What we need to do is start from scratch. There's lots of podcasts.
There's like six of them now.
Yeah. 12 podcasts that I'm doing a week. I come down here into the bar, I drink all day long, and I do podcasts. My wife is like, you have a problem.
I love your new
and it's
job,
not the,
Chris.
It's not the drinking, it's the podcast. There's too many of them.
Should I keep it light? Stay out of the fight. No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light?
You're gonna eat lightning. You're gonna crap thunder.
Is that right?
You're gonna be a greasy Italian tank.
Growing up on a podcast.
Socks in the basement.
The EP podcast.
30 minutes of good in a world of dumb.
We gon' burn the whole house down.
We have run out of time on This Week in Lanuti's Basement. There's just too much to give you. Don't forget, a regular episode of the Broadcast Basement gets on this feed in just a few days. It comes out every Thursday. Beer, fatherhood, fun, 30 minutes of good. And then, like I said, there's a lot of other shows that come out of the Broadcast Basement. You heard from me and the priest. You heard Ben Belton, who shows up on the EP podcast. I didn't get to Growing Up on a Podcast this week. We'll get to them next time. But before I leave, you may not be a White Sox fan, per se. There's not a lot of us in this world, but they do play here in my hometown on the south side of Chicago. And my childhood hero was on the show just a few weeks ago. If anything, that's the benefit of doing that show. His name is Ron Kittle. He was the 1983 Rookie of the Year, and he was on the phone because he was afraid to come into my basement. But after the interview was over, he gave me hope. I leave you with that hope. We'd love to talk to you again sometime, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. It was a blast for us.
Yeah, thank you, Ron, again.
Well, it's my pleasure, and anytime you want to shoot the breeze, you can give me a shout, and we'll get this thing taken care of. And if I'm in your neighborhood, I just might stop by.
That would be, oh my
wonderful.
Gosh. I don't know what I would do with myself. I would be very excited. I thanks. Now I've run out of things to say, Ron. You've made my day. We're going to get off the phone. I'm going to just skip throughout the house. Ron Kittle might show up in my house. Like every time the doorbell rings now, I'm going to be like, kids, that could be Ron Kittle. That could be Ron Kittle.
Well, it isn't going to be for a while.
I got to go get a pound cake now just in case you still show up. I got to keep like stuff around for you. I got to start looking at your Twitter account, figure out what kind of cigars you actually smoke because I see you smoking them every once in a while. There's lots of work to do.
Another show is wrapped up. Another show's in the books. Another show is wrapped up. And then by the looks, it's going to be a good one. And we'll see you next week on the Nudie's Basement. On the Nudie's Basement. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. And it's in the books. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. And by the looks, it's gonna be a good one. Nudie's Basement. Broadcast Basement. The Nudie's Basement. The Broad Basement.
Slauncha. That was like Dropkick Murphys or something, right? I felt like it.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
I said one more thing I'd like to say.
Yes.
Ass.
Okay.
30 minutes of good in a world of dumb. The Broadcast Basement on broadcastbasement.com.